Of course, war and the large military establishments are the greatest sources of violence in the world. Whether their purpose is defensive or offensive, these vast, powerful organizations exist solely to kill human beings. We should think carefully about the reality of war. Most of us have been conditioned to regard military combat as exciting and glamorous, an opportunity for men to prove their competence and courage. Since armies are legal, we feel that war is acceptable. In general, nobody feels that war is criminal or that accepting it is a criminal attitude. In fact, we have been brainwashed. War is neither glamorous nor attractive. It is monstrous. Its very nature is one of tragedy and suffering. And this week's opening quote comes from Tenzin Gyatso. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. As alluded to in the opening quote, war really does have no place in a sound and sane mind, ladies and gentlemen. War serves no purpose other than to kill people. But war is an interesting thing, you know. We look at war and we only really see the overt wars. We only really notice the overt wars. We notice it when countries go to war with each other and bomb each other and cities are destroyed and people are killed. But so much of it is in fact theatre. And while we're looking at these wars, we don't really notice the covert wars that are going on in the meantime, the covert wars that are going on right under our noses in many cases, the wars that are actually being waged against the people of the world by the governments that are pretending to govern them in their best interests, when really they're not. They're governing the people in their own interests, and they're all working together to do it. I mean, most of the covert wars that we see are planned and contrived, and they all serve certain political agendas. They're all designed to move the world into a certain direction, and all the governments work together. It's important that people understand all the governments work together to achieve a common goal. I mean, there might be some certain rogue governments that don't really want to, but these are getting few and far between. I think there's only two or possibly three countries left in the world now that don't have a Rothschild-controlled central bank. Of course, Iran being one of them, North Korea being another, and I think Cuba may be another one as well. So we notice these wars, but as I said, we don't really notice the covert wars that have been fought against us. As I mentioned in my first film, my first ever film that I put out on YouTube called The Big Picture, that I put out in 2008, as I mentioned in that film, World War III has already started. It's just that most people do not realize that World War III is in fact a covert war that has been waged against the people by the governments of the world. And we just kept distracted in looking at other things. We don't really see what's going on right under our noses. And it's coming to its final stages now. The final lockdown is coming with the whole 5G thing and the whole censorship thing that's being rolled out. The censorship is really getting quite dramatic. There's a lot of shadow banning happening on YouTube, a lot of channels being shadow banned, a lot of people in the truth community reporting this is happening to them. A lot of people are having the same problem I have. Subscribers are basically being deleted from their channel, and people have to resubscribe and resubscribe over and over again. YouTube, with its new guidelines, its new anti-hate speech guidelines, has been quietly going through and deleting videos. It's deleted about at least 5 or 6 videos from my channel in the last couple of weeks. Shows that have been there for quite a while. Shows, there was a couple of them that had restrictions put on them. There was a show I put out when I was talking about Tartaria and the orphan trains. It was a show entitled History is a Lie, We've Been Set Up. That show had actually been restricted. It had like 580,000 views in 2 weeks and 8,500 comments, and then they'd restricted all the features on the video. But just last week, they deleted the video as being inappropriate, containing inappropriate material. They've done the same thing with all of my Christchurch videos now. They're all gone, inappropriate material. A video that I put out called Fascist Dickheadism, which was restricted. Again, this has been deleted for inappropriate material. So it seems that free thought, open investigation, and free thinking, indeed having an opinion of any kind, is now deemed inappropriate by YouTube. This is now inappropriate material. No thinking outside the box allowed. You must not offer any perspective that is not approved by whoever it is that approves these things, probably Wikipedia or something incredibly reliable like that, or CNN or Fox or any other complete farce they can put there and tell us there's an authority on these things. So this is one way the covert war is being waged, and it's always the first step is to curtail free speech, curtail free thought, and make sure the message can't get out to people, and they're getting quite effective at that. You'll find a lot of stuff doesn't come up in searches on Google now. You'll find that if you comment on YouTube, if you say words they don't like, if you use the J word, or even if you type in Christchurch very often, your comment is instantly deleted. So people are finding new ways of spelling words. If you're looking at some of the comments, you're wondering what all the weird spelling's about. People are doing that so their comments don't get picked up by algorithms and instantly deleted, because that's what's happening. If you simply phrase something wrong or put the wrong word in your comment, it just suddenly disappears and no one gets to see it. You can write it out as many times as you want and it will simply disappear. I commented on one of my own videos the other day about 6 times before I realized that it wasn't just bandwidth, they were actually deleting the comment, and it wasn't until I changed the wording that the comment would stay there. So this is what's happening, folks. They're right onto it, and they've put all these algorithms in place, and they're up and running now, and it's just going to get worse and more controlled as the weeks and months move forward, unless we start making some noise about it. But that's what's happening, folks. They're now deleting comments in real time. Not only are they deleting comments, something else that I've noticed on my channel is that all of the videos that I upload now usually have between 7 to 20 views before I make the videos live. So there's obviously people there that are monitoring your videos before they go live and listening to them just to see what you've said and see what images you've used to see if there's any way they can censor you before you put it out there. The Ministry of Truth live on YouTube, folks. The Ministry of Truth live on the internet, live on Google. This is what it's really always been about. The whole freedom that we had on the internet, the anonymity and the freedom we had to do anything, this was simply the character they held out to lure us in. They were simply grooming us for where we're heading right now and what they are leading us into, which is going to be an incredibly dystopian future. And it's sad to have to address this stuff all the time. And I'd like to be looking at history again. I'd really like to get some focus back on Tartaria and the Magyar language and some of the stuff that I was working on a couple of months ago. It was getting quite interesting and I was really enjoying going down that rabbit hole. But then unfortunately this whole 5G thing and the whole smart grid started rolling out here in Australia. And I kind of had to shift focus because this is so important. It's so important that we get some attention brought to what's happening so that we can stop it, because if we don't, pretty soon I won't be able to research Tartaria or any of the stuff that I want to research anyway, because the internet is going to be so restricted and so locked down that it's going to be very difficult to even look at these things. So as much as I want to start looking at ancient history, and I do intend to bring you some stuff on ancient history as soon as I'm able, I just think for the moment it's extremely important that we keep focus on this 5G smart grid that's rolling out, the Internet of Things, and alert people to what we're really heading into, because if we do allow ourselves to be led into this future and don't do anything to stop it before it's finished and before it's rolled out, then we're going to find ourselves in some extremely hot water, folks. We really are. And 5G is one of the key points about it, because they can't roll this system out. They simply won't have the bandwidth for the IoT to work without the 5G carrier wave to support it. So that's one of the main things we need to keep a focus on. But even in doing that, we need to look at all aspects of the 5G system, because it isn't just about the health aspects. It's also about the surveillance aspects, and mainly it's about the surveillance aspects. This is something that I've been warning people about. You know, there's been all sorts of talk about how there's going to be a 5G apocalypse and we're all going to suddenly get sick and all this terrible stuff's going to happen as soon as they switch it on. And when that doesn't happen, people are going to think, oh, well, this is just a bunch of random conspiracy theorists putting out all this fear-mongering, and they're going to throw the baby out with the bathwater and not look at the deeper ramifications of the 5G system, which is the surveillance grid that is going underneath it. You know, the whole smart system, the whole smart city system, This is in itself a prison system, folks. This is putting everybody in prison without the need of actually having to go to prison, because you're going to be in one anyway, simply by living in the city. Because everything you do, every action, every thought, every communication, every single thing you do, every action you undertake in your home, every appliance you switch on, what you're watching on TV, what you're doing on the computer, the conversations you're having with people inside your house, all of this stuff is going to be monitored. Every single thing you do is going to be monitored, and every experience that you have with other people is going to be commodified. There's going to be credit points that you can get for interacting with other people. It's going to be like Black Mirror, only worse. It's going to be like Black Mirror on steroids, folks, where we're being shepherded into, and it's really not the sort of future that we want to be allowing to happen. So it's important that we keep some focus on this, folks. It really is. So, yeah, that's why I haven't been really getting back to ancient history the way I'd actually really like to be. I mean, really do enjoy looking at all those topics, but, yeah, I just haven't had the time, folks, because we are really facing a clear and present danger. And, you know, a lot of the stuff I've been saying about giving up your smartphone and all this sort of stuff, it's imperative that people do this, but not just that they give up their smartphone. You've got to be sharing information. You've got to be encouraging other people not to allow themselves to be led into this smart grid as well. Because, you know, it isn't going to matter if we just all give up our smartphones. I mean, the whole truth community could give up their smartphones. But if the truth community is only 5 or 10% of the population and the other 90% of the population is still using these devices, then they're going to pull us into it anyway. You know, we're not going to have a choice. We're just going to get dragged into it with everybody else. So it's imperative that we share the information and get people to see what is happening and encourage others to go back to flip phones, to go back to just using the internet at home, and to speak out against this 5G system. Yeah, and really the surveillance aspects of it may even be something that will awaken people more than the health aspects of it. Yeah, once they start to realize that every single aspect of their life, every single aspect of their home life, when the doors are closed and they're in their bedroom with their partner, all of this is going to be monitored through their smart devices, because everything will be smart. Everything will have a microchip, which means everything is going to be transmitting. That's the thing, you see, folks. You know, you get a toothbrush that you keep in your bedroom and it's actually transmitting a signal to your Wi-Fi router. I mean, you know, it's just ridiculous, this whole concept of everything being smart and everything being connected to the internet. But that's where they're going. There's actually a good clip put out by James Corbett the other day that I've got in my favorites on my YouTube channel, and it's called The 5G Dragnet. I do recommend you have a look at that as well. And if you're watching this on YouTube, I'll be sure to put it in the video description. He kind of nailed it, where we're going. And there's another clip that I have pinned to last week's show called We Are Being Groomed. And this is, again, by Amazing Polly. And she nailed it in that clip as well. And if you're watching this on YouTube, again, I'll put that clip below this video clip in the video description as well. Just for those who missed it on last week's show, it's a good clip. She did a good job and kind of laid it out in a language that most people should be able to understand. Same with James Corbett's done with the 5G Dragnet clip. I do recommend that you watch them and share them, folks. It's very important that we get people to wake up to what is happening. And, you know, we've got a very short window to turn this around as well, so it's imperative that people really get active with this and get motivated and start sharing this information before we get completely shut down, because they're really, really pressuring us here on YouTube. I don't know how long my channel's going to last at all. And I'm getting pressured from so many angles and so many places now, just trying to shift my focus off what I'm doing. So it's very interesting to see, folks. Very interesting. You know, as the saying goes, you don't get the flak if you're not over the target. And the amount of flak that I've been getting lately has been very, very revealing. As I said, there's been a lot of attempts to shift my focus because a lot of people are paying attention to this 5G thing. A lot of people are paying attention to the smart grid. A lot of people are sort of standing up and noticing now that it's being rolled out in Australia here in Darwin. And a lot of people in New Zealand have actually been getting a bit of a handle on what's been going on with the Christchurch shooting. I've been getting a lot of flow of emails back and forth from people in New Zealand. So a lot of people are actually realizing what's going on. A lot of people are actually seeing the bigger picture. And so that's why I'm getting so much flack and so much trolling and such an incredible attempt to shift my focus back into defending my character. This is what a lot of the trolling is, folks. It isn't people presenting information which disputes mine, it's character assassination. And this is the way trolls work, and this is the way CoIntel works. If you're getting people coming to your channel and they're carrying out massive character assassination against you, the goal of their posts, the goal of their attacks against you is to get you to distract from the path that you're on and to have to engage with them and waste your energy in defending your character rather than simply staying the course. They don't want you to stay the course, folks. And when this happens to you, it's imperative that that's exactly what you do. Stay the course. Because if you're getting the flak, it means you're over the target. And as I said, a lot of people are waking up to what really went down in Christchurch, and a lot of people are waking up to what's actually going down around us now as a result. And, you know, not just as a result of Christchurch, but a lot of people are noticing this smart grid. A lot of people are noticing what's happening. A lot of people are standing up and making noise about this 5G grid, and that's why there is such a huge attempt to shift people's focus away from this and direct it back into infighting. But it's imperative that we put the infighting down, folks. It's imperative that we realize that we are all fighting the same battle. We're all in this together. It doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you believe. It doesn't matter what your belief system is. It doesn't matter what your religion is. It doesn't matter what your race, your color, or your social position is. We are all facing the same battle. And if you need verification of that and you need something to try to unify the people and try to bridge that gap that we're having with people, if you need something to encourage you to put down your differences with others, well, there's a film that I put out back in 2012 called Transformation. Two words, transformation. In that film, I talked about the transhumanism. I talked about the smart grid. I talked about where we were going. And I put some research in there discussing the spraying that's going on in the skies. And so many people say, oh, no, there's no aerial spraying going. Well, whatever, folks, whether you believe that or not, okay, put that on the shelf and put it wherever you want. But I discussed that. I discussed Morgellons syndrome. I discussed the nanotech that is being discovered in the food, the nanotech that we are discovering in soil and water samples. And as I mentioned in that film, as was mentioned in a presentation by Sophia Smallstorm, what the instances of Morgellons syndrome are can be viewed essentially as the canary in the coal mine. You know, the people who are exhibiting signs of Morgellons are people who are rejecting the nanoparticles within them, and these nanoparticles are escaping, leaving through their bodies, through their skin. But the rest of us are not rejecting these fibers. And these fibers are literally in everybody. Doesn't matter what your walk of life is. Doesn't matter whether you're a peasant, whether you're a politician. Doesn't matter whether you're a drug dealer or whether you're a police officer. It doesn't matter whether you're a Muslim or you're a Christian. It doesn't matter whether you're European. It doesn't matter whether you are an African, whether you are a Jew, whether you are a doctor, a dentist, a plumber, a builder, a conspiracy theorist, or a programmer. It doesn't matter what you are. You all have these Morgellons fibers, this nanotechnology growing inside you, and there's a test you can do. You can actually do a test and check out what's going in your body. You might have heard of it, the red wine test. You can actually do this, folks. You get a little bit of red wine, swish it around in your mouth, and then spit it out into a bowl and have a look at what's been extracted from the skin inside your mouth, what's been extracted from your flesh through your mouth that you can see in the red wine. Do this and really think about the fact that you've got these little wormy creatures that are crawling around inside your body. We all have them, and it doesn't matter where you come from. Like I said, it doesn't matter what your walk of life is. It doesn't matter what your belief system is. It doesn't matter which side of the fence you're on with Christchurch, which side of the fence you're on with the fake shootings and the non-fake shootings, or whether you think the earth is round or flat, or whether you think it's a hologram, whether you believe in NASA, whether you don't, whether you're a Christian, whether you're a Muslim, whether you're a Jew. It doesn't matter who or what you are. You are under attack because you are being modified from the inside out by nanotechnology. And all you've got to do is this red wine test. Do it with anybody. Do it yourself. Get your parents to do it. Get your neighbors to do it. Get people who don't even believe in this stuff. Get them to do it. Get them to rinse some red wine around their mouth, then spit it out into a bowl and have a look at the little crawly wormy things that are coming out of your body. Get them to do this and then ask them to explain to you what they think these things are. Because this is happening to everybody. Now, when you see this, perhaps this would be a reason for people to perhaps put their differences down and realize that it doesn't matter what you believe. It doesn't matter what your confirmation bias says on any given topic. What is important here is the fact that we are all facing a common threat, and what we need to focus on is freedom. Now, freedom needs to be the main focal point for everybody, because that's what this is about. That's what the whole truth movement is about. I mean, you can call it a truth movement, but what is the truth? The truth seems to be pretty subjective depending on what people want to believe. I mean, sure, there's an ultimate truth. Absolutely there is, but what is it? Do you know? Does anybody know? Has anybody had access to the right information? Or do you just believe what you want to believe? Or do you believe what resonates with you? Let's face it, folks, nobody knows what the truth is. You know, I've been researching this for years. I don't know what the truth is. I've got vague ideas. I've got things that I suspect. But there's nothing that I can actually prove. Unless you want me to. And if you want me to, well, I can prove it for you as much as you want. Anything you want to believe, I can prove it for you. Because all the information's put there for me to do that. For me to be able to do that. And that's why it's been put there. Just to keep people arguing over these little details depending on what they want to believe and not looking at the bigger picture and not realizing that it doesn't matter what you believe, it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter where you're from, we are all facing the same ultimate agenda, the same ultimate goal. Doesn't matter whether you're a peasant or a politician, doesn't matter where you sit in the food chain, doesn't matter what your nationality, race, cult, creed or location on this earth is, we are all facing the same problems. And that's what's important, ladies and gentlemen. And that's why it's so important to get some focus. So maybe that will help. Go and do a red wine test and get your friends to do a red wine test. Get everybody you know to do a red wine test. Do have a party, have a gathering. Let's all sit around and let's do this little squishy red wine test and let's see if Max is telling the truth. That might be a good idea. Maybe that's something that will help unite people. Maybe people, when it really sinks in what's going on, maybe it will help them just put all of this stuff down, put all this division down. You know, all you trolls out there trolling me and attacking me, go and do a red wine test and then tell me that I'm the one who is your enemy. Go and have a look at this stuff. Go and have a look at what's inside you and think about it. It's inside everybody. The question is, where's it coming from? Who put it there? And what is the ultimate goal of all of this? A little bit of rain, folks, coming and going today, so you're probably going to have to put up with a little bit more background noise. But yeah, anyway, go and do that, folks. Go and do a red wine test and encourage other people to do a red wine test and then ask yourself where this comes from, what it's for, and ask yourself how it might be affected by the 5G carrier wave. Go and have a look at some of the DARPA patents, have a look at some of the things they can do with 5G. Go and have a look at some of the tests from MIT when they've injected nanotechnology into rats and have a look at what they can do to the rats by switching the nanotechnology on and off and getting it to do certain things it's programmed to do with radio waves. I mean, it's all there, folks. It really is. But the problem is, you know, you try to bring this sort of information to people. And, you know, for years I did shows that were all about spiritual empowerment, all about how to break down barriers with people. But then got to the point that, well, it's not really waking people up and we're facing a clear and present danger. So I started bringing this type of information to people. And what happens is you get accused of being a fearmonger. But what do you do, folks? I mean, if this is what is happening, then it's what's happening. And if you see a group of people who are standing on the train tracks and you can see a train coming and it's going to hit them and they're just not paying attention to it, warning them to get off the tracks is not really fear-mongering. It's just being prudent and paying attention. And the fact of the matter is that we've been set up, folks. This whole thing has been set up to lead us to this point. And this is the point that we're now at. And now with all of this nanotechnology coupled with the smart grid that they're rolling out, you just can't sort of continue to deny the obvious that All the stuff is in place for them to do whatever they want to do to the human race, and everybody is under the same assault. That's the thing. You know, and you look at this, this is what brings in the cognitive dissonance with so many people. They think, well, if this is true, then it would be in the politicians as well. And yes, it is in the politicians. It's in everybody. The question is, do they even know what they're doing? Or are they simply psychopaths and they don't care what they're doing? I mean, it's anybody's guess, but ultimately the point is that it's all of us that are subject to this. All of us are being modified in this way. All of us are under the same assault. And all the infighting and all the charged up belief systems that people want to defend, it's not getting anybody anywhere. It doesn't prove anything. You can be as right as you want to be and pretend you're as right as you want to be, but it doesn't make you right. Like I said, I can go and prove anything you want to believe. You tell me what you want to believe. Give me a day to prepare a slideshow and I can convince you that you're right in anything you want to believe, because all of the information is put out there for us to do that. But that doesn't make any of it true. That's the thing. You know, the problem is that most people are simply not prepared to admit that. Most people are simply not prepared to admit how much they just don't know and how much of what they're claiming to be fact is simply what they believe. What they want to believe is fact. What they use to stabilize themselves emotionally, you know, they need something to believe in. A lot of people need something to believe in. If it isn't a religion, then it's a conspiracy theory or it's a concept or an idea. Whatever it is that they can find to trigger that romantic spark in them, to fire their imagination and have something to hold on to. And too many people simply, in doing that, they're not prepared to look at the world around them and to look at the reality of our situation. And that's what I've been attempting to do for so many years on the show, just to help people to see the reality of their surroundings, the reality of our situation. This is why I ask so many questions on the shows. A lot of people write to me with answers that they think I'm looking for the questions, but it isn't that I'm looking for answers for the questions. I'm just attempting to encourage other people to actually ask the questions to begin with. I'm a firm believer that you cannot tell anybody the truth. Truth cannot be told. Truth needs to be realized. And truth will be realized when people begin asking the right questions for themselves. When people begin asking the right questions, then the right answers will present themselves eventually. Maybe a little bit of a path, but that's what it's all about. It's about the journey, folks. That's how enlightenment happens. You know, enlightenment is the journey itself. And you can't make that journey for people. That's why you can never tell anybody the truth. The truth cannot be told. It must be realized. It's that little aha moment. It's when that light bulb goes off in your head. That's when it happens. And it's never from something somebody told you. It's always from something that you realized yourself. It might have come from information that somebody told you, but ultimately it was a realization. And that's why for the last 11 years on the radio show, the main goal, the main object has been attempting to encourage people to ask these questions for themselves and to realize that what the ultimate agenda here, what the ultimate goal for all of us to get to is freedom. And that's what it's about. That's what it's always been about. And as I've said before, anything that interferes with that is simply not acceptable. And infighting certainly does not help anybody on the path to freedom. Too many belief systems getting in the way, too many egos getting in the way, too many people believing they know when they're only really halfway down the path. But anyway, folks, I think we've reached break time, so I'll leave it there for now. We're going to have a break. Thank you for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company, and I'll be back to speak to you again in a few minutes. Thanks for listening. And welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, it may be really strange thinking about all that stuff, you know, the red wine test, the Morgellons and all that sort of thing, and it may seem really negative talking about all of this smart grid and all of this stuff that's coming online, but it really, it needs to be talked about because of what it's going to do to humanity. And really, you know, all you've got to do is look at the children, folks. Look what's happening to the kids. You know, with all of the stuff that's been done to them through the education system, and look, you know, you might be someone out there who's gay or transgender or whatever, and I've got no problem with anyone being gay, anyone being transgender, anyone being whatever they want to be. But when it's being pushed on school children, when they're too young to even know what sexuality is, what this is doing is it's causing them to think about things they don't even need to be thinking about at that age. These are kids. They should be out building sandcastles and sliding down grass hills on pieces of cardboard and going surfing and climbing trees and playing with animals and learning how to paint and learning what they are, learning about life, learning about experience, this sort of thing, you know. Pushing all of this transgenderism and gender confusion on children and giving them iPads at such a young age in their schooling. I mean, what this is essentially doing is stealing their childhood. It's stealing their childhood from them. You know, look at a school bus. I mean, school buses used to go off. Remember the school bus? You'd get on the school bus. It was this like a party all the way home. There was this massive conversations going on and all sorts of stuff happening on the school bus. Now you drive past the school bus. All the kids are looking down, staring at their iPhones and staring at their iPads. They're all looking at screens. There's hardly any talk. Go to a bus stop. Go to a school bus stop. Most of the kids are sitting there on their iPhones, chatting, texting to each other and not looking at each other. You know, and this is stealing their childhood from them, you know, and what they're growing up into, they're not going to have any reference point for what freedom was. They're just getting led into this incredible dystopia because we're allowing it to happen. That's what's so important about this. And not only are they getting their childhood stolen from them, this technology is literally stealing the children from their parents because it's disconnecting them from their parents. You know, the parents aren't playing with the children anymore. The children are quite happy playing on the iPad, and kids aren't out playing in the streets anymore, in the parks. The playgrounds are empty. Nothing is really thriving or alive anymore in the world of the children. I mean, anywhere I go anyway, it just, it's like all this stuff, all this real world activity is just being phased out of people's minds, phased out of interest with people. The kids are being taught to think about things far too serious for children to be thinking about. What you want your gender to be when you're 5 or 6 years old. I mean, this is ridiculous. Fostering dopamine addiction in these kids when they're this old as well. This is dangerous. Not just ridiculous, but downright dangerous. It's destroying their minds. And this is why this needs to be addressed. And the kids aren't going to do it. They're just getting led into it. That's why it's incredibly important for parents to wake up to what's going on, to start paying attention to what's happening with their kids' lives. You know, and I think about it, you know, when I was a child, when I had my big awakening, when I was 4 years old and I realized that this was a crazy world that I'd been born into. I'd been born into a madhouse. I can only imagine what it's like for the kids now, because there's a huge awareness in children and it seems to be progressing, whether you want to believe in indigo children or whether you want to believe in any of this sort of new age stuff or whatever it is, it doesn't matter. But there seems to be a real intelligence in the kids that are coming into reality now. And these kids are automatically being drugged and categorized as having problems and autism and ADHD and all sorts of stuff. I mean, ADHD kids, I would imagine many of them just look at the world and say, hey, this is a complete mess. What on earth are all you people doing? And so they drug them and say they've got a problem and they need help and they need adjustment to society and all this sort of stuff. I mean, they tried to do this with me. They tried to categorize me as having all sorts of things. They ended up saying I've got Asperger's syndrome because I don't read social cues well or whatever. I mean, they had to try to label me with something because I just didn't fit in with their society, because I'd question everything they told me to do. I'd ask why I had to do any of this stuff. I'd just point out to them that it was all ridiculous. And so they had to categorize me and tell me I had some sort of disability or affliction. Really, I could just think clearly. And they didn't seem to be able to do that. And that was my affliction. And I would suggest that's what a lot of these young kids that are being categorized as having these autistic problems and ADHD and all of these sorts of things, these kids are just kids that can see clearly. They've got active minds and they can see the farce that this social system is. And so they have to categorize them as something, because it's the only way of making them fit in. And so their parents have drugged them and their minds are blocked and clouded and they become less of a worry for society, less of a worry for the powers that be. And all of the people in society will just categorize them and say, oh, that's that young kid. He's got a problem. Don't worry about him. You know? And unfortunately, the parents have been led into this as well. I mean, this type of attitude's been foisted upon them and they don't even know it, you know, because of the government handouts they can get. You know, if your child is categorized as autistic or whatever, there's certain benefits you can get. You know, take your child here, put them on this medication, we'll help you out with it, just so you've got a stable household. And really, it's, you know, parents saying, well, look, my child is behaving badly because he basically can't stand the world because it's a crazy place, so he needs to be drugged. And they sort of jump at the opportunity because there's a financial incentive in them doing this, and they can sit around, you know, and discuss it with the other parents. Oh, yes, my son, well, he's got this, and oh, yes, well, my child's got this. And it's kind of like Munchausen syndrome, you know. A lot of the parents actually get off on the fact that their kid has an affliction, and it gives them a point of discussion with other parents. And that may be a shocking thing to realize, but it's unfortunately true. And it's also true in regard to transgenderism. You're finding, you know, a lot of parents are actually pushing this on their children simply because it suits the parents. If the children aren't really interested in, little boy doesn't want to become a little girl, but his mummy says he does, and so he kind of goes with it. But very often it's the parents doing it just because it makes themselves feel important and it gives them a point of discussion. Oh, yes, my child is a progressive child who's going through a transition because I think it's good for him. And he's shown me that he wants to do this. And it's mostly the parents just cooking it up themselves. Because, in fact, the child is too young to actually know what it wants to be because it has no real concept of sexuality at 5 or 6 years old. You know, a lot of parents simply want to have a transgender child around because it's some type of fashion accessory for them. You know, and they're never waiting until the child is old enough to actually make the decision for themselves. They just see a little boy was playing with a doll one day. Oh, look, he wants to be a girl. Let's dress him up in pink and tell him that he's a girl. And we'll tell everybody else that he's a girl. And therefore we can be a progressive, new, socially acceptable person who's moving forward in a free-thinking manner. It's rubbish. So we're all being led in this direction, folks. It's all very, very contrived. And unfortunately, many people have been programmed through social cues to simply go with the flow and to see this type of mentality as being progressive and forward and open thinking. When it's not, it's simply where they're going because they've been programmed to go that way and to think that the ideas they're having are actually their own when they're not. They're ideas that have been put into their head by the system itself and via the media. All the world is a stage, folks, and most of the thoughts that people have simply are not their own. It's just that many people are kind of afraid to admit that. It's a shocking thing for most people to think that the thoughts and the ideas you have may not actually be your own, but really it's the way it is if people would just take the time to step back and really look at things objectively. And be prepared for the shock that this enlightenment might give them. You know, as the saying goes, enlightenment is a destructive process. It's a breaking down of everything you thought was real. But that's how it all is, folks. You look at how all of this smart grid has really been a program. It's really been a trap that we've been led into. How it's designed to break down people's educational ability, their ability to learn, and it's also designed to break down the family unit and then separate people from each other. And it's all been designed to lead us into a surveillance grid that will be almost impossible to escape from because the people that are born and grown up into that grid won't have any reference point for what reality was like without it. And it's all been so contrived, folks, and it's all leading us to a very dark area. So, I mean, that's why I've been talking about it so much, and that's why I've been attempting to help people see what's coming, just in the hope that they will stand up and do something about it. And I'm not attempting to instill any sense of doom or fear into people. I'm just attempting to alert people to the fact that we have a problem. Because once people realize we have a problem, perhaps they'll stand up to address the problem. Because we could address the problem quite easily. As I was saying last week, simply stop using your smartphone, stop using all smart devices and start speaking out about this stuff and talk to other people about not using their smart devices. You know, this whole slavery system that we're being led into is a system that we're choosing to go along with. Apparently they're giving out Amazon Minis to people here in Woolworths. When you buy $100 worth of shopping or something, you get a free Amazon Mini put into your shopping. This is a surveillance app they're giving you to put in your home. Here, take this little device home, put it on your table, hook it up to the Wi-Fi, and it will listen to everything that you say so we can monitor what is going on in your household and listen to all your conversations at will. Anybody can now do that. Anybody who's got an Amazon Mini in their home or an Alexa or a Siri, any of that stuff. I mean, they can track you through your mobile phone anyway. They can turn your mics and camera on your mobile phone. But if you've got an Alexa or a Siri or one of these Amazon Minis in your home, this is a surveillance app that is listening to everything you say. And I would be very, very wary of putting one of these things in my home, folks. If Woolworths tells you that you can have this thing for free, tell them that you don't want it because it's a surveillance app and you don't support government corruption, you don't support organized crime, and you don't support human enslavement or mass surveillance, and so they can keep their Amazon Mini. Perhaps the people on a checkout might get an idea of what's going on if someone was to actually say that to them. Yeah, but this is how they're going, folks. They're really pushing it out to people, making it very attractive to have all of this stuff, but it's just leading you into this dystopia. Right on cue, actually, while they're doing it, it's just been announced that there's a lethal drone facility that is opening up near Brisbane. Wonderful stuff. Robot drones with lethal capabilities being constructed at a new Brisbane facility. Makes you feel all warm and fuzzy, doesn't it? Just what we want, military drones being built right next to one of our capital cities. Wonderful stuff. And really, you know, when you look at all the other stuff Australia is doing with the smart cities and the mass surveillance and the Chinese technology they're using, 10X and BAE systems and all of this sort of stuff, well, you can't help but wonder what their intention is with these military drones and these surveillance drones, these lethal drones they're creating, and how much of it is for overseas military use and how much of it is to be used on the civilian population in this country. And certainly looking at the track record of the Australian government, well, things don't seem to be boding very well for the future. I suppose drones are always useful for sending over foreign countries so they can shoot them down and we can rattle the sabers of war for the public the way we just saw in Iran. Very interesting that as well. I mean, it's good that Trump pulled back and decided not to strike Iran, but it's interesting that there was even talk of striking Iran for shooting down a drone in Iranian airspace. I'd like to direct people's minds back to 1988 when the United States actually shot down a Iranian passenger aircraft with almost 300 people on board. There was a helicopter incident. There was a helicopter that went into Iranian airspace. The helicopter was intercepted by the Iranians. Then a U.S. vessel went into Iranian waters, and while in Iranian waters, it shot down a passenger jet, an A-30 Airbus with, I think, 290 people on board. And there was no repercussions from that. There was no response from Iran. There was no declaration of war. And the United States, not only have they failed to ever formally apologize for shooting down that passenger jet, completely unwarranted shooting it down, but the captain who shot it down was actually commended for good behavior and given an award for his quick action in attempting to protect his vessel. I mean, attempting to protect his vessel, folks. This is an idiot who shot down a passenger jet, murdered nearly 300 people, and the United States government gives him an award for doing so, and yet they're threatening to go and bomb a nation because it shot down an unmanned drone that they had sent into that country illegally, which was an act of violence in itself. Just sending a surveillance drone into someone else's country, this is an act of violence, and you would expect it to be shot down. But it just shows the incredible double standards the United States State Department is willing to uphold in its foreign policy. You know, any excuse it can find to terrorize another nation, it will do so, while claiming to be the champion of peace for the world. It's just a complete joke. Absolute, complete, and utter joke. And as I've pointed out to people many times in the past, the nation of Iran actually hasn't attacked another country in over 270 years. Whereas the United States, well, I'm drawn to a quote by William Blum, former member of the US State Department, the man I opened the show with last week, and William Blum points out that Between 1945 and 2005, the USA attempted to overthrow 40 foreign governments and to crush more than 30 populist national movements struggling against intolerable regimes, and in the process, the US caused the end of life for several million people and condemned many millions more to a life of agony and despair. And currently, for any good that people may think the United States government is doing, any good that people may think the Trump administration is doing, I'd like to point out that the $1.2 billion worth of arms that Donald Trump is selling to Saudi Arabia every year are being used to carry out one of the most brutal acts of genocide that we've ever seen in the modern world, namely the bombing of the people of Yemen. And that Donald Trump's deal of the century that's been offered to Palestine is basically a deal that offers the Palestinians the choice of extermination or complete subjugation. What it's talking about is a one-state solution for the state of Israel, only two sets of rules, one for the Jewish people and one for the Palestinian people. And folks, this has been seen in the world before, and this system of government is called apartheid. And I'd like to really have people focus on the real pronunciation of that word. Many people know the word and many people pronounce it as apartheid, but the correct pronunciation of the word is apartheid. And really that does speak volumes in itself. And with the war posturing that is happening against Iran at the moment, which is again all being done at the request and will of Israel, because it's Israel who's been wanting to have a war against Iran for so long, well, we're not really seeing anything changing at all, ladies and gentlemen. And that quote by William Blum, all of those wars, 40 nations and 30 populist uprisings, that's just up until 2005. Now, that was 14 years ago. Yeah, so it's kind of sobering looking at all of this stuff and really looking at the world and seeing the world for what it is and seeing the direction that we're going into. It's very sobering. Yeah, and a lot of people have been commenting saying, gee, I just can't listen to your shows anymore, Max. It's just too depressing. You're bringing us all this depressing information and I feel like committing suicide after listening to your shows. I mean, that's not why I do it. You know, I spent years attempting to empower people, but all the shows that I did, talking about spirituality, talking about the energetic universe, talking about our connection with people, why you need to put down all your stuff with people. I'm doing this and I'm saying all these things and I'm putting all these shows out, but the world was still continuing to move towards hell in a handbasket. So, you know, it gets to the point that you just have to look at this situation and address it for what it is. And I do it not because I want to be negative and not because I want to depress people. I do it because it needs to be done. You know, people need to become aware of where we're being led, because once they become aware of it, we can change the direction that we're going. But if we don't change the direction that we're going, then we're going to end up where we're heading. And that's not going to be a very good place. So it's a fine line attempting to bring a radio show to people every week that will help empower them to make some positive change in the world. I mean, you can do this, but you can't ignore the situation of the world because, you know, I mean, I could come on and I could do all these love and light radio shows. I could do shows, come on here and make you feel wonderful about yourself. But in doing that, am I simply lulling you into a false sense of security and distracting you from what's going on around you, when really all of the spiritual understandings and spiritual evolution that you may have gone through in your life, this has all been for a reason. This has all been so that you can actually apply it to the world that you live in. Because if we were to apply our spiritual understandings to the people around us and to the world that we live in, and not just be in a state of love and light and a state of positive vibration, oh yes, no negative thoughts, that's not part of my reality. Now you've got to face the shadow, because when you face the shadow, you bring light to the shadow. That's how to heal it. You know, people are often afraid to face their shadow selves, and there's a large shadow in the world which is growing completely due to people's failure to deal with this shadow side of themselves. And too many people want to ignore the darkness in the mistaken belief that the darkness is going to go away if they simply don't give it their attention. This whole concept of where attention goes, energy flows. They don't realize that they're giving their attention and energy to the darkness all the time by participating in the system that they largely choose to ignore. You know, they're giving attention to this. They're giving their energy to this system. They're giving their energy to this darkness by their willful ignorance of this darkness, because being aware of the darkness would mean that you actually have to face it. You actually have to change what you're doing in your lives. You know, once you become aware of it and you become aware of how you're contributing to it by simply supporting the system, by simply supporting all of this smart grid, all this smart technology, all of this stuff we're doing, when you become aware of that, then there comes with it a responsibility for you to change the actions in your own life. Yeah, and this is something that people don't want to do. As I've said so many times, people want change, but they don't want to change. They just want to get the newsletter to be told the world is better now. But think about it. Think about your actions in your everyday life. All of the things that we do in our everyday life, all the shopping and all the driving around, all the credit cards, all the interactions in stores, all the things we do, think about it. Now, if this system is the darkness itself, if this system is the beast system, then you know the world is run by this terrible evil force. If the terrible evil force is removed, but you don't expect your life to change in your everyday world, then what is it all for anyway? I mean, if this system is in place because it's been put in place by an evil mind or an evil system or whatever you want to call it, then why do you think that nothing is going to change? You know, you can just keep your head down and go about your everyday life. The everyday life that you're going about is the system. This is what is supporting this move into this smart grid. Everyday actions that people perform in everyday activities that they just pay no mind to. Using all of this smart tech and all of this stuff that we do. This is what's leading us into the darkness that everybody's so afraid of. And people don't want to hear it because they don't want to have to change their own personal actions in what they do every day. They just want the world to change without them having to change anything they do. But unless they're prepared to do that, nothing's going to make a difference. It doesn't matter who comes in. You can vote in anybody you want. Trump, the next guy, it doesn't matter. Whoever, whatever politician you put there, whatever university you go to, whatever heads of whatever faculties, whatever you put in place, it's not going to make any difference at all if people are not prepared to change what they're doing on the ground every day in the actions that they perform in their everyday life. And if they do that, then the world will change around them. There won't be anything you have to do. There won't be any revolution. There is no revolution anybody needs to stage or hold or anything like that. The revolution is a revolution of consciousness. All we have to do is change our perspective, change what we do, and the world will change around us. It simply won't have any other choice. And this is something that I've been attempting to share with people ever since I did the first radio show 11 years ago. Slow process, but well, somehow I think many people are actually starting to get it. What can I do, folks? We do what we can, and that's about all we can do, huh? Well, once again, folks, we have reached that time of the day where it is now very close to the end of the show. As I've mentioned to you previously, I'll be speaking on the Gold Coast in August between the 15th and 17th of August at a conference called the Paradigm Shift Summit. I don't have a banner for that yet, but I'm sure that if you do a search, you'll find it. I believe I'll be speaking on the Saturday evening and also joining a panel on the Sunday evening. So if you're anywhere in the region of the Gold Coast, anywhere from Brisbane to Byron Bay or whatever, I hope to see you there. I'll also be speaking at Anarchadelphia in Philadelphia in September. That's, I think, the 17th of September. You'll find a banner for that on my website. And if you use the coupon Crowhouse, you'll find you'll get yourself a discount on a ticket to that event. I'm also going to be speaking at Anarchapulco in February. And same deal, if you go to the anarchapulco.com website and you purchase a ticket for that event and use the coupon Crowhouse, you will also get a discount on that event. These are the only events that I have booked. I've got these two events booked for this year, and I've got that one event booked for February next year. There's a good chance I'll be in the UK for AV11 in May next year as well. Ian Crane's Alternate View Conference. These are very, very good conferences, folks. If you are in the UK, I do recommend you go to these conferences. They're held every May. I'm usually speaking at them, but I declined to speak this year because I was just too exhausted from travel. but I should be back there next year. But I will look forward to seeing those people who can make it to the Gold Coast event and to the event in Philadelphia this year anyway. As always, I'd like to send out a thank you to the many people who send me so many kind emails, and I'd like to send out a special thank you to my Patreon supporters. As I've said so many times, I could not do this work if it wasn't for you, so I cannot thank you enough for your support in allowing me to continue this work that I do. But that is it for me, folks. We've completely run out of time, so I'm going to have to leave it there for now. It's been a pleasure having your company on the show today, and I'll look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take very good care until then. In Lakesh.